Pope Benedict XVI's special papal envoy, Cardinal Robert Serra, recently returned to the Vatican from a mission to Lebanon to coordinate humanitarian response to the increasing Syrian refugee crisis in the region. Reporting on his mission, during which he visited refugee camps for Syrians who have fled the bloodshed in their country, Cardinal Serra, president of the Pontifical Council Coronum, said he was deeply affected by the despair and by the conditions of the refugees, whom he says are in need not only of basic necessities, but also of regaining dignity and respect as human beings. I spoke to CAFOD's Catherine Mahoney, an emergency response officer in the Yusuf Batil refugee camp in South Sudan, home to more than 35,000 people who have fled fighting in Blue Nile State in Sudan. She says that although life is tough in refugee camps and providing basic needs is a top priority, one of CAFOD's aims is to help people become productive and in the long run help them to help themselves.
Very often when we see what happens in refugee camps, we're shown the worst perspective, and it's important for us to understand how difficult it is for people who are living in refugee camps. But the side of it that we don't see so much is how much people are already doing for themselves, even though they have so little, and how much ordinary life that we would recognise continues to go on within the camps. And I think that sort of thing helps you connect so much more. You know, these people are so much like you, and even though they've struggled and suffered terribly, they're picking themselves up and they're moving forward and they're being positive. And I think it's really important to recognise that. And what our programme does, and what our work intends to do, is to identify these things that people are doing to make themselves stronger and better and move on, and to help them strengthen it as well.
You are actually at Batil refugee camp, if I'm not mistaken, in South Sudan. Can you tell me a little bit about this camp? Who is there? How many people are there? How is it structured?
Yeah, so Yusuf Batil refugee camp is the home for people who have come from Blue Nile State in Sudan. When they were in Blue Nile, they have been subjected to aerial bombardments and there's been on-the-ground conflict. It's meant that people were in fear of their lives, and it's also meant that they weren't able to farm as they normally would because it was too dangerous to be going out and planting seeds. So they were suffering from food insecurity. They couldn't get regular supplies in, and it just became too dangerous for them. So about 105,000 people crossed the border into Mabran County in Upper Nile State of South Sudan. These people were largely farming communities and had no choice really but to move on, travelling for weeks at a time, carrying what they could manage to carry. And quite often, all you can manage to carry is your children and your mother-in-law and, you know, a few scraps of the most essential belongings. In Upper Nile State, there was a gradual growth in the number of people who crossed the borders, with a sudden influx happening in around June. And that was as people realised that the rains were going to come and their options for escape were going to be very, very limited. And so they sort of surged through because they realised it was going to be more dangerous and they'd be trapped otherwise. When the rains come, the roads melt. It's virtually impassable. So we had a big influx of people come over. Now, you tend to find that when people are transiting from a dangerous place, those with the best ability to move get there first, either because they had the most means to move, you know, they maybe had access to resources, whether that's, you know, money or transport. Maybe they're able to get there more quickly because they're fitter and healthier. So you tend to find that the last people to arrive are the people who are the most vulnerable. They've got the least resources. They're the tiredest, the sickest, the oldest, the weakest. And that's the kind of people that we find in Yusuf Batil camp. They were the last people to arrive. So when they arrived in Yusuf Batil camp, they were weak and they were tired and they were hungry. And so we found that there were very high rates of malnutrition, very high rates of sickness amongst the weak and the very young and elderly and the very young people. So there are, in Yusuf Batil camp, there are around 35,000 people. And they're living, it's quite close to a town called Bunj. And they're, yeah, so they're settled in this refugee camp and living in tents and getting by as best they can there.
And what is CAFOD doing to provide services? What kind of services do you provide?
Well, our focus of activities is on what we call livelihoods, which is supporting people in the things that they need to do so that they can provide for their families. So that's things like helping people set up kitchen gardens, providing them with seeds and tools and advice on the best way to maximise your production when you've only got a small space of land, so that they can get access to nutritious food that they're growing themselves. We're also looking at things like support for agriculture with the host community, because you have to remember that in a refugee crisis, it's not only the refugees who are struggling. South Sudan is a country that's been through years of conflict, devastating conflict, and there's virtually nowhere that's untouched. So the population who have received these refugees were already under considerable pressure anyway. So some of our activities also support the host community to make sure that they can keep the means to survive. So they're providing agricultural support to them. We're also providing vocational training for people. Lots of people want to start small businesses, get involved in petty trade, but maybe you don't have some basic skills that would help you on the way and support in that. So we're looking at helping people who are already trying to trade and move and sell their services to help them do that a little bit better so they can be more productive. Another aspect of what we're looking at is hygiene promotion in the host community, because when you have large concentrations of very vulnerable, weak populations, you also get disease and sickness spreading incredibly quickly. And the best way to prevent that is to keep people clean and healthy with hygiene messages about washing your hands and how to make water safe and how to store water safely, safe defecation and looking after children, that sort of thing. And so by promoting those correct hygiene practices, we're able to help communities stay safe even in these stressful conditions.
I understand that each situation is a situation in itself and conditions vary enormously, but what are the perspectives, the future perspectives of the people in the Batil camp?
Unfortunately, we don't see this coming to an end quickly. And right now, many agencies who are providing support to refugees in both Upper Nile State and in Yida camp as well, apparently in Yida camps in Unity States, we're starting to prepare ourselves for the possibility that this situation might get even worse, that even more people will come. Because if fighting continues across the border, if people remain unsafe, they're going to continue coming in. So we think that there's a possibility that there will be more people coming. We're already seeing some more people coming now that we're in the dry season, or moving into the dry season, and it becomes safer to pass. We suspect that there could be anything between 15,000 to 30,000 people coming between now and Christmas. And then next year, estimates range from, range up to a further 90,000. It is difficult to say, but the main predictor in that is whether or not there continues to be conflict over the border, and how successful the peace negotiations are and how well people adhere to those agreements. We expect to need to provide support for over a year, possibly 2 years. We'll be there as long as people need us to support them. CAFOD has been in Upper Nile State supporting, in Mabane County, supporting communities there for the last 4 years, and we've been working with them still to support their livelihoods with the communities who were there before the refugees came. So we've got a sort of a long-term commitment to the area, and we'll be there for as long as they need us, I think.
Struck me reading your story that you noticed this indomitable will to survive, and you speak of the strength of the human spirit. And also very strong was the need to give these people to recover their dignity.
I mean, it's striking. And when I was spending time in the camp, I was researching our project. I was trying to find out what it was that we could do to help people and the best way to help them by speaking to them and asking them, saying, what do you want us to do? How can we help you? And, it can be quite an intimidating prospect walking into a refugee camp where you're surrounded by thousands of people in desperate need. You worry, will you be overwhelmed? Can you help them in any way? What can you do? And, to my sort of bewilderment, I found I really enjoyed being there. People are friendly and people are helpful and they're moving on, and you get this sense of progress. That people aren't sitting waiting to be helped. They're not sitting waiting for something to happen to them. They're doing it themselves right now. You would see things. I would find it so uplifting. I would walk through and I spot a big mound of earth, and these are termite mounds, and people had hollowed them out. and turn them into bread ovens. And so they're receiving grain from the World Food Programme to feed themselves, and then milling it, and they're turning it into bread that they're then able to sell in the market, fresh bread from literally something that has been dug out of the earth. They receive oil in cans, and people have turned these cans into tea stoves, and then they put small amounts of tea, and then they sell it in the market, in a little shop, so they're generating some revenue for their family. You know, whatever tiny resource they're able to get their hands on, they turn it into something productive. And seeing that, it's uplifting and it's humbling. It makes you realise these people need our respect as well as our support, and we need to recognise how they're already helping themselves and how strong and capable they are.
Thank you very much, Catherine. Is there anything you'd like to add to that?
I think, working with CAFOD, I feel very privileged to stand alongside these people, and I feel very much aware that we're able to represent many Catholic communities around the world who want to provide support for people. And I think many of them recognise the importance of that indomitable spirit that I mentioned, and this is a way that we can help feed it and show compassion and solidarity. So I feel very privileged to be a part of that movement.